Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Shriram Properties Limited Q4 and FY 2024 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Murali Mallayan, Chairman and MD, Shriram Properties Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning to all of you. First and foremost, I would like to extend a warm welcome to our investors and analysts. This meeting gives us a valuable opportunity to discuss our operational and financial performance. The board has adopted Q4 and FY 2024 financials. I am pleased to report that this quarter has been exceptionally strong for the company. We have delivered outstanding operational and financial results. Before discussing the financial performance in detail, I would like to highlight key operational highlights during the year and for the quarter. During the quarter, we recorded sales of 1.56 million sq ft and sales value of over 700 crores. More importantly, we have recorded highest ever sales volume, sales value, collection and handovers. Also highest ever revenue, EBITDA and net profit. I wish to say that it has been a good year for us and we remain optimistic about our future. The mid-market and mid-premium segments are gaining significant momentum and overall market trends are very, very positive. Coupled with our robust operating platform and strong pipeline of projects, we are very well positioned to capitalize on the industry's ongoing consolidation. I would like to now ask Gopal to briefly discuss the performance in detail with you. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have thereafter.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, everyone. My name is Gopal, and I'll over the next 30 minutes, I'll walk you through our operational and financial performance for the full year and the quarter. As Mr. Murali mentioned, well, the quarter has been excellent. More importantly, the year has been one of the best years that Shriram has seen in recent years. So it's a record high performance on all most key parameters. For the year, we ended with 4.59 million sq ft of sales volume, reflecting a growth of 14% year on year, with a sales value of 2,362 crores, reflecting a growth of 28% year on year. A collection, record high collections of 1,390 crores, reflecting a growth of 16% year on year. Total handover of a record high number of 3,000 plus homes or plots, which reflects a growth of 50% year on year. I must say, these are all reflected in the presentation which is uploaded on the website of the company as well as stock exchanges. I assume you are referring to those presentations and have access to it. And therefore, I'm going to refer these slide numbers in the presentation. We are at slide number 4, and that's where the full year KPIs are highlighted. On a Q4 basis, more precisely for some of you who are looking for a quarterly data, 1.56 million square feet of sales volume, up 19% year on year, 708 crores of sales value, up 43% year on year, 336 crores of collection, reflecting a growth of 10% year on year, and 1,400 homes got handed over, reflecting growth of 84% year on year. More importantly, out of 3,000 homes we delivered, as you know, remember, as you may recall from the previous conference calls, we had some delays in receipt of OC in the month of December, and we received them towards the end of the quarter, and some of them in January. And therefore, effectively, in less than 60 days, the team has delivered 1,400 register handovers for the quarter, which not only is a satisfactory moment for us, but it also reinforces the system capability. And that gives more confidence to the management saying that system is now more capable of handling larger scale and size in our operation, and therefore we are equipped to handle much larger volumes in the coming years. Slide number 5 primarily captures this number in a trend basis. On a sales volume, we have reported about 15% CAGR over the last 3 years. On a sales value basis, 24% CAGR. Collection, 15% higher on an average basis, and handovers have grown 42% on an average basis for the last 3 years. Shifting focus on key highlights for the year. As I emphasized already, several KPIs at a new high. This is slide number 6. Several KPIs at a new high, be it sales volume, sales value, collections, or handovers. Up 14% year-on-year for the full year. Value is up 28%, collection 16% growth, despite all the delayed launches that we had and the record handovers that I spoke a few minutes ago. More important, on the execution side, 3 projects received OC in Q4, ahead of RERA timelines, and overall, 8 projects moved to completed portfolio, aggregating to about 3.8 million sq ft of developed area. Delivering completing 4 million sq ft on an annual basis for the second consecutive year, again, endorses our system capability on the ramp-up capability that we have achieved, and it gives us the confidence on delivering 4 million-plus kind of volumes annually over the next couple of years. Our construction momentum has regained further momentum, with activities shifting away from the completion and OC focus in the last quarter to a ramp-up in construction in ongoing projects during this quarter. As well as we have commenced work on some of the new projects, all of this should actually accelerate construction spending in the coming years. Shifting to financial performance on the same slide, we had a record high revenues, near 1,000 crore revenue mark. We just missed the 1,000 crore mark by, I think, about 10 crore or 13 crore number. Remarkable growth in handover was behind this strong growth in revenue recognition. EBITDA is up 22% year-on-year. PBT is up about 7%. PAT is up by about 10% to 75.4 crores. All of them are record high numbers for Shriram. More important is the stability in operating margins. We've had a very stable EBITDA margin, PBT margin, and PAT margins even during this year. Across the quarter, we saw, but it's very satisfying to see on an annual basis, we are stabilizing our profitability, which actually confirms that we are on the right path to delivering much larger scale and volume and profitability in future. Cash from operations, which is very relevant in this business, cash from operations have doubled, almost doubled to 224 crores in this year. And you would see in the subsequent slide that free cash flow has been very encouraging as well. Against an expectation of 350-400 crores of free cash flow, we already recognized or realized more than 270 crores of free cash flow between last year and this year, which is a very satisfying progress for us, while we are looking forward to pushing ourselves more harder. But I think it's a very satisfying moment to know that the numbers are on track. Interest cost is flat. However, due to some one-time costs that I'll explain in Q2 and Q3, due to project acquisition-related costs, our overall finance cost is up about 11%. We expect that to drop further in FY25. Even interest costs should go down in FY25. Cost of debt is stabilizing at 0.5%, and incremental borrowing is done at about 10% levels, and that's therefore a satisfying moment for us. Our debt equity at 0.34 remains one of the lowest in the sector, and we see it dropping further in FY25. On the business development and the new growth initiatives, I think Pune market entry is the most important landmark. We're hoping to do it in Q4. I think the regulatory approvals have got pushed to, due to code of conduct and others, got pushed to this quarter. We are looking to make a successful entry into Pune in Q1 FY25. Project pipeline is strong enough to support the growth momentum. We will discuss that in subsequent slides. We'll discuss about the Kolkata part. LOGOS deal is, as I explained in the last conference call, it's strategically delayed or pushed to current year because we are trying to solve 4% royalty issue more proactively. And once the code of conduct issues are sorted out, I think we should be able to make meaningful progress towards closure. And subsequently, we'll consummate the logos and the new launches in Kolkata. I'll explain that in detail if required. You may recall that we thought about monetizing our mall assets, retail mall, approved mall project in Chennai land. And that monetization process has progressed well. We should be consummating or closing the transaction sometime during this quarter or early next. That's a good progress and it should give us the cash flows in FY25. Shifting attention to little finer aspects of individual KPIs. Slide number 7 talks about our launch and sales performance. 6 launches, majority of them did well. Shubham in Chennai got launched towards last week of March. Therefore, they've sold only about 4-5% of the project area because it was only 1 week operation. 122 West is a project which took off meaningfully, but then momentum slowed down. So we are reviving or relaunching that project. And that had a 7% sales in the last quarter. But for these two, I think all others are in an attractive zone from a sales at launch perspective. The most important was the Sapphire launch, a project called Shriram Sapphire in Bangalore. It was launched with the code name of Ultimate, slide number 8. Received a very good response. We sold about 70-odd% in the first week. As of within 1 month of launch, we did about 80% of the project inventory got sold. That gives us a confidence and a new visibility or new insight on moving up this sales at launch curve with the changing market dynamics. But overall, I think the sales side is delivering well. That's a limited point I wanted to deliver. I wanted to submit to you all. From the market perspective, I think the market trend is strong. All of you know better. And therefore, I didn't really cover the market slides, which are in the annexures to the website presentation. But the pricing trend has been reasonably encouraging. As a market average, publicly available research reports tell us that Bangalore price have moved up by about 8-9%. Chennai moved up by about 5%. Compared to this, our core market price increases. Our portfolio level price increases have been much more encouraging, about 12% higher price compared to what we did in our portfolio projects last year, on top of an 8% increase in FY23. Therefore, that gives us a comfort that the market undercurrent remains strong and we should be able to capitalize on it in the next 12 to 24 months, even more strongly than what we did in the last 2 years. More importantly, as we have always been emphasizing, we have been consciously trying to move up the price curve or the value curve because we used to be at a larger discount or a peer group and that gap is getting narrowed. As you could see from the chart on the slide 9, right hand side bottom, mid-market products which we used to sell below 5,000 rupees pre-COVID is now getting sold at about 6,300 rupees per square feet. That is an encouraging upward movement for us. One, the market improvement is reflective here, as well as our conscious effort to upgrade the portfolio in terms of micro-market selection or the product configuration that help us in realizing that extra 100 rupees per square feet type kind of price increases from time to time. So we're very comfortable, confident on being on a positive side of the price curve over the next at least 12 to 24 months. And therefore, we see a conducive operating environment. The third dimension to our KPI was the handovers and delivery. And some of the projects that we got delivered during the year is highlighted in slide 10. I've already said that we have delivered 3,000 homes and 1,400 homes in the last 50-60 days alone. Interestingly, there's a small picture on the slide 10, which shows how aggressively our handover and completions and handover ramp up has happened over the last 5-6 years. Several of you had this question about capability. I think over the last 3 years, we have demonstrated our ramp up capability, both in terms of sales volumes, as well as in completion and handover. And this image, moving from 700 homes handed over in FY19-20 to about 3,000 homes, speaks volumes about the system capability that we have built. which is very encouraging, keeping in mind the aggressive growth that we are trying to pursue over the next 3 years. Shifting attention to financial performance, slide number 12. It is satisfying to note that this is our 10th quarter of sustained profitability and earnings since the initial turnaround post-IPO in December 2021. That's an encouraging moment to start with, and to encouraged by the fact that we've had for the full year, we've had the highest ever revenue, EBITDA, earnings. Record high revenue recognition was supported by the handovers, as you know. But the the profitability metrics have been encouraging. EBITDA is up 22%, PBT is about 7%, net profit is at about 75 crores, which is a new high for us. More importantly, as I said, margins have stabilized in the mid-20s at EBITDA level, mid-30s in the gross margin level, and 10% in the PBT level. ROC is at about 11% plus. We remain confident and seem on track to deliver a mid-teen ROC for the next 2 years, as we have been consistently talking about. Several value accretive transactions happened during this year. Acquisition of a DM project into our company as Shriram 122 West, and we launching that late last year, and transferring their project into ASK co-investment platform was a big value accretive move on our part as a company. Reacquisition of JV interest from Mitsubishi Corporation in our project, ongoing or nearing completion project called Shriram Park 63, is another value accretive move which we managed to consummate successfully. Gateway Mall monetization progressed well, reached near closure. We wish we had closed this in March, then we could have got income recognition and profit recognition in the year. To that extent, we had a deferred income and profitability from this mall, got deferred to FY25 instead of 24. This would have added revenue and profitability to the company. But be assured, this income has been now more certain. It's a question of documentation completion and consummation. The board has reviewed that yesterday, and therefore we are now fully prepared to consummate the transaction in the coming months. On the debt side, I will explain that in subsequent slide, but it's an encouraging progress for us so far. Slide 13, exactly the same point that I mentioned, captured in a graphical form, so I'll kind of skip that. Slide 14 is the critical phase, explains our financial performance. Slide 15 gives you the explanation to it, but I will try to highlight some of the key points. Focusing on slide 14 on the financials, you would appreciate record high revenues, 21% year-on-year growth at near 1,000 crore revenue base, driven by OC and registrations and record high handovers during the year, more specifically in Q4. 75% of revenues were driven by recently completed projects. Liberty Square, Shriram Liberty Square, Shriram Chopping Wood, Shriram Grand One in Kolkata, Shriram Park 63 and Shriram Shankari. These projects continue to contribute. Some of the new projects that came in Q4 were Shriram Liberty Square, Chopping Wood Tower 5 and Grand One. They added big volumes to Q4 numbers, handovers and revenue recognition. That's encouraging. DM fee momentum is a bit slow in Q4 as well as the full year. Accounted for only 7% of revenues. Three projects drove it. But because of the completion of several DM projects during the year, plotted development or otherwise, the share of DM fee slowed down a little bit. We expect it to regain momentum because we have three DM projects coming up with full force in the coming year, and therefore we should regain the DM share in the current financial year. Cost of revenues up 77% year on year, which is in line with the increase in revenues, and therefore we remain comfortable on it. Gross margins have remained stable. In fact, it has inched up by a percentage to 34% from 34% from 33% last year at the gross margin level. EBITDA margins were slightly, marginally higher, a tick up from 22 point something to 23%. And EBITDA year on year. healthy margin profile, minimal volatility on annual basis. These reflect the benefits of improving scale and business model maturity. I have always emphasized that our volatility or our margin profile was slightly different from industry averages 3-4 years ago, primarily because we were operating and handing over completion handover at a 1 million sq ft annual scale, while we were selling at 3 million scale. As you know, real estate business is all about all costs are today, all revenues are 3 years down the line when you hand complete and handover. And therefore, 1 million square feet revenue bay recognition and 3 million square feet run rate of expense recognition, that is how we had a margin stress. We were confident in 3 years ago when we did the roadshows. Since then, we have consistently been telling people that this margin profile will improve with improving economies of scale and business model maturity, both in DM side as well as our own scale from 1-2 million square feet to 3-4 million square feet. I think those results are showing up, and therefore we remain confident of maintaining gross margin in the mid-30s, EBITDA margin in the mid-20s, and the PBT in the 9-11% range. Overall finance cost, as I said earlier, interest remains flat, but due to the non-cash charge as well as certain one-time costs, overall finance costs were up 11% during this year. As we have said in the previous calls, Our one-time costs were primarily related to acquisition of Shriram 122 West from a DM partner, where the project came along with associated debt, which we carried in our books for more than a quarter, and then transferred that project when we vested the project in a co-investment platform with ASK. We redeemed the debt, and therefore the costs were reflective in our books for that one and a half quarters, and that's one-time cost for us. We also had an additional burden from Mitsubishi buyback, where the debt, Mitsubishi was to be paid in three tranches. We have paid two tranches already, and towards preparing ourselves for this and assumption of the remaining outstanding debt. These debts moved from joint venture to our books, and therefore interest was being incurred, which will continue till December 24. But these two were the non-routine costs. As a result, the finance cost went up by 11%. Profit before share of JV losses were about 96 crores, up 40% year on year. Share of JV income were negative. As you know, the JVs are still in the construction phase and they have not yet reached the revenue recognition. Therefore, as I said a few minutes ago, all costs are being recognized at the JV, and therefore we are picking up our share of cost in the JV. Three JVs are in apartment construction mode. Shriram Greenfield is almost complete. Shriram 107 West and Shriram Whitefield is a project. These two projects will reach revenue recognition in the next 12 to 24 months. Until such time, we will be picking up a share of marketing and other costs. The other cost which came from was the Pristine Estate, which is a joint venture, and those marketing costs and 122 West launch expenses were all the costs that led the JV share of losses higher this year, which is launch related costs. And despite this higher JV share of negative income, our profits were at about 75.4 crores. Compared to 68 crore last year, and the earnings per share remains very healthy at 4.4 crores when compared with a minuscule positive earnings we used to have 12 to 18 months ago. Shifting attention on the balance sheet side, I think the balance sheet remains healthy, slide number 17. We have one of the highest ROCs in the listed space now. Prestige and Brigade have higher than us ROC at 12% and 14%. But rest of the sector still has a lower ROC and several of them at a single digit ROC. We moving up from a 4% ROC in FY19-20 to a 11% ROC gives the comfort that some of the strategies that we are working towards is paying off, and we'll continue to work towards it. And as I said at the beginning of the session, we will work towards reaching a mid-teen ROC in the next 12 to 18 months time. More important slide number 18, cash flows. As I said, very positive and encouraging cash flow outlook. Cash flow from operation nearly doubled in FY24. We had 227 crores of cash flows up from operations compared to 115 crore in the previous year. And net of all the repayment, financing and borrowing related activities, free cash flow from free cash flow before new project investments remained healthy at 156 crores compared to 116 crore last year. More important, we have now realized 270 unlocked 270 crores of cash flows, free cash flow from operation in the last 2 years. As some of you may be recollecting, we have always been saying 350, 400 crores of cash will come from projects over the next couple of years. And it's encouraging to see that we have reached, covered a large part of this ground in the last 2 years. With a few monetization coming up, with a few more projects coming up to closure this year with handover targets, we believe we will definitely achieve the 350 odd crores of cash flows, or maybe surpass that number for the next 12 to 18 months in terms of unlocking free cash flow. This will help us to rebuild our growth pipeline by redeploying this capital and without stressing the balance sheet beyond a point. We should be able to grow the pipeline and sustain our growth momentum for the next 3-4 years. And therefore, this is an encouraging development for us. Next slide talks about the debt profile, which we have discussed multiple times in the past. Cost of debt has been coming down, slide 19. Bank share remains healthy at about 41. We are now focusing on banks further to improve their share beyond 50, 55, 60% levels so that our cost of debt can drop even further from the current levels. Incremental borrowings are being done at about 10 odd percent. That gives us the comfort that the cost of borrowing could come down from the current levels, though may not be as dramatic as what we have seen over the last 3 years. So that's fundamentally about FY24. I'll spend a couple of minutes on FY25 and then I'll stop for taking questions. Looking at slide 21, our overall strategic objective remains unchanged. 20% plus kind of CAGR we want to ensure in our sales side. We want to ensure our sustained profitability and improving returns. We will continue to work towards zero net debt. We will have gross debt at all times. We will work towards having a zero net debt over the next 12 to 18 months time. FY25 context is built within this strategic objective. The market conditions are favorable, so I think FY25 context is more encouraging for us. Operating platform has proved robust, has withstood the test of time through the NBFC crisis, COVID, post-COVID challenges. All of this, we have put this system through, and both sales side, construction side, CRM side, and the support side in terms of finance, legal, and others have all rose up to the occasions and have proved robust and resilient, and that gives us the confidence that we should pursue more aggressive growth. Keeping that in mind, we have set ourselves a target of 5.2 to 5.5 million square feet of sales volume, which reflects a 20% growth from current levels at the higher end. Sales value will grow by about 27% to between 2,750 crores to 3,000 crores in a range. Collection should be in the 1700 to 1800 crore range. Handover should be somewhere around 3,300 to 3,500 homes to be handed over. Should reflect about 17-18% growth as we go through. Slide 22 captures the same thing on a CAGR basis. Where do we get this comfort and confidence to give you this indication or guidance on our FY25? Slide 25, 23 and 24 will tell you why we have this confidence. As we ended the year, from our ongoing project, as we have always said, 23 million square feet of ongoing portfolio. Of this, our share of sales would be somewhere around 22 million square feet. About 5 million square feet is the closing inventory that we had, which is the unsold portion of ongoing project. We have zero inventory in sold completed projects. So roughly 5 million square feet of opening stock. We are adding another 6 million square feet of supply. Between these 11 million square feet, we are trying to sell about 5.2 to 5.5 million square feet. New launches should contribute about 2.5 million square feet of sales for the year. The rest will come from the sustenance sales in ongoing projects. These projects are nearly ready. If you look at the table there, the launch readiness of each of the projects is there. Except for projects that are meant for Q4, where the plan approval and in one case, even the acquisition process is under closure. But otherwise, the projects are all under control. Development rights are with us. In several of them, plan approval is there, or they are at the last stage of approval. And therefore, we have good comfort in launches during these timelines, Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, as we have highlighted here. We'll track them and report to you on a quarterly basis. On the completion and handover, which is very critical for our revenue recognition in FY25, slide 24 gives you the snapshot. Out of 3,500 homes that we are targeting to deliver, 2,700 homes will come from these 7-8 projects. Rest will come from the projects that have been completed and OC received last year, last financial year. And some of them may not have completed the handover and registrations. And therefore, the balance will come from there. But majority of it, 2,700 out of 3,500, comes from these 7-8 projects. They are all in an advanced stage of complete finishing work, except for one or two projects which are meant for handover towards the end of next year. And therefore, we will focus attention on completing those projects, Pristine and Mystique. Remaining projects are at a very good, very advanced stage even as we entered the financial year. And therefore, we are confident of delivery ahead of timeline in most cases. Ahead of RERA timeline or customer committed timelines in most cases. Slides 25 and 26 give you a snapshot of where these projects are, a pictorial representation of their progress. Slide 27 gives you a snapshot, and it was aimed at giving you comfort on the fact that it is not just about FY24 record high year and so on. We have a very good visibility on our earnings outlook for the next 3 years. Not just FY25. As I said, in real estate business, all costs are today, all revenue recognition is 3 years from the day when you sell, when you complete the project and hand over. Therefore, based on the sales we have made, we have a reasonable visibility on what the progress is, current status of these projects. Combining these two, we have a good visibility on where the handover outlook or revenue recognition outlook for the next 3 years is. We are very confident of sustaining a growth momentum, both in terms of 3,500 units to be handed over in FY25, as well as a target of roughly 10,000 homes to be delivered over the next 3 years, 25, 26 and 27. More importantly, a large part of these handovers are already sold already as of March 31st, 2024. And therefore, the earnings certainty is high. As long as we execute and deliver these units, we should be able to recognize these revenues. Last slide for me, project pipeline. As you recall, we had certain projects which are still work in progress, certain projects where there are land acquisition or last mile acquisitions are work in progress. So 8 million square feet were kept as deferred. For convenience sake or consistency sake, we have kept them outside the comparison for now. And as you can see in the footnote in that slide 28, 8.0 million square feet is not shown in this slide. Even excluding that, all the reasonably certain projects or projects under good control is aggregating to 42 million square feet of ready pipeline or the live pipeline, 24 million ongoing, 18-19 million square feet is ready for at various stages of preparedness for launch. They should support our proposed growth path with starting with 5.5 million square feet in FY25 and ramping up further over the next two subsequent 2 years. we'll at an appropriate time discuss about our 3-year outlook, maybe when you have a call next time or when you have an analyst meet soon. So overall, we is a company which is scaled up nicely from a less than 1 million square foot pre-RERA to a 4.5 million square feet over the last couple of years annually. A lot of you had concerns around scalability. I think we have demonstrated our scalability right now. Some of the other concerns were profitability. Over the last 3 years, at least post-listing, I think three-third financial year now, we have demonstrated our ability to sustain profitable profit margins with a less volatility, notwithstanding all the market-related volatilities. We have been able to demonstrate our ability to keep the margins in the mid-20s at the EBITDA level and PBT, PAT in the 9-10% range. We believe, based on the profile of the portfolio that we are progressing right now, we should be able to sustain this margin and maybe improve slightly. Third, the system has demonstrated its capability to deliver consistently on execution as well as sales marketing. And that gives us, all of these are right ingredients that should take us to a much larger scale from this 5 million square feet that we have set as a target, 5.5 million square feet target that we have set. We should be able to go to a newer, greater benchmarks in the next 2 years. So we have we are looking at an ambitious growth path between FY25 and FY27. We look forward to meeting our targets and delivering sustained profitability and improving returns to our shareholders going forward. Rest of the slides are available in your pack for reference at your leisure. And last but not the least, slide 31 message. Some of you had always been asking us about the shareholding changes and all that. Shareholding profile is shown in slide 31. Promoters own 28%, consistently owning that number. Will remain there. The interstate promoter may go through some restructuring between the ownership share, interstate being changed between Mr. Murli, who is the chairman and owns a part of this promoter hold group, and the Shriram group. We are still working towards it. As and when it is finalized, formed up respective boards, we'll make it public or we'll come back to you. But we would like to clarify, the promoter holding will remain 28%, will not change from these numbers downwards. And therefore, just wanted to remove the concern from people's mind on any potential changes. With that, I will stop and I'll, Mr. Murli, myself and rest of my colleagues who are in this room will be very happy to answer questions that you may have. Thank you for patient hearing and look forward to answering your queries.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Narendra from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So my first question is, what would be the reported revenues in FY25 and 26 and also the EBITDA margins?
Difficult for me to comment on revenue number, but we would hand over close to 3,500 homes. A similar growth should be visible in the revenue. I would prefer to stay away from a revenue guidance. EBITDA margins will remain in the same range. Mid-20s range will continue. Maybe I'll try and answer your question in another way. On an average, our ticket size is about 6,000 rupees per square feet and 1,300-1,400 square feet is the average unit size. 1,200 square feet. So if you work backwards, we should see a remarkable, a meaningful growth in revenue from the reported number. So I'll leave that revenue at that stage. But EBITDA margin, I can assure you that we would be, EBITDA and PBT, PBT, PAT margin should be in the same, similar range, mid-20s and about 9 to 10% PAT, which will be very consistent with what the rest of the industry is doing from a resi side.
Sir, what did you say was your average price?
Currently, the mid-market is about 6,000 rupees, 6,300 rupees is the ticket size. As I showed in the presentation, the affordable product should be slightly lower from a ticket size perspective. Put a basket as a whole, we should have at least 5,500 rupees would be a average basket size for the revenue recognition.
Okay, great. And on the delivery side, so you said that 10,000 you want to deliver over a period of 3 years, right? So this 3,500 kind of rate we should expect every year over the next 3 years?
Yeah, should rise actually. Should grow.
So that 10,000 number is a conservative number, right? Because if we say 3,500 and it could rise further, so that brings us to more than 10,000.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash Darvi from Systematic Share and Stock. Please go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, hi sir, good morning. Congratulations on good set of results. Regarding the approved mall project in Chennai, so can you please explain the deal and what would be the expected cash flows from it?
Yeah, as you are probably aware, we had this large land parcel that we acquired from what was erstwhile known as Standard Motors car factory and in Chennai. We converted that into a large integrated complex. Commercial space is done and sold to Xander. In fact, we sold it and we did a DM for commercial area. And Resi is called Park 63, which we are developing jointly with Mitsubishi and which we are buying back from Mitsubishi now. After developing these two, there is another piece of land within the same complex. There is another area or parcel, which is which is approved for mall retail mall development. And since that is not our core business, we prefer to monetize the FSI. And therefore, we have been in negotiation or we have been looking around. We have identified a potential buyer, reasonably large and credible existing mall operator. We are at an advanced stage of closure. Yesterday, the board has reviewed and supported the transaction that is being done. And we should be able to consummate the transaction currently is already approved for a mall. So, but the proposed buyer has a different configuration for the mall in mind. So the plan needs to be modified before we can consummate and realize cash flows. We expect to consummate the transaction subject to, because it involves approval from the planning authorities in the local market, that is CMDA. I'm not able to commit a timeline on the approval CP. But based on our experience, we believe it should take between 3 to 6 months max. I'm just very conservatively putting with all the election and uncertainties in mind. So during this year, we should be able to realize the cash flows. And till the deal is announced, I would prefer to stay away from the cash flow quantification. But it will be a very large number considering our annual current cash flows that we do. So it's a material number. I would prefer to stay away because we haven't disclosed this number to, transaction is still not publicly disclosed and therefore I would like to stay away from the cash flow number. But be assured it is relative to the annual cash flow that we generate now, it is a significant number.
Okay, sir. And just to follow up on that, so would this be used for a debt reduction as well?
We'll see. Obviously, you can either use it for debt reduction or you can grow. A combination of both is our objective, because as you see it, rest of the market is overall market conditions are very robust. Rest of our peer group is growing faster, and you may have seen the publicly available research on CRISIL or others showing our market, national market share as well as South Indian market share has moved up nicely. But we expect that we would like to have a much larger share in our core market, even though we are among top three and top five in each of our markets, but we still like to have a higher market share. For that, we need a growth, we need pipeline. So a combination of growth investment as well as new project acquisition investment as well as debt reduction will be considered. Our debt equity is already low based on, without considering any acquisition or divestment, without considering any divestment cash flow, the FSI monetization cash flows, based on our core operations alone, our debt equity should drop to about 0.25, 0.28 in end of 25. With that kind of debt profile, if you go on reducing only debt as a deployment of your cash flows, growth will get hampered. So it has to be a balanced approach.
Okay, sir, got it. And my next question would be regarding the relaunch of 122 West. So how has been the current feedback regarding the project, and what reworking have we done it? And when can we expect the relaunch?
I must correct myself. I've used the wrong word. It's not a relaunch. It's a continuous marketing gimmick, marketing strategy that we need to roll out. It has to be a repositioning of that product. So we are already working on it. The campaigns like Book Now, Pay Later, those kind of schemes that get rolled out from time to trigger walk-ins and closing. We are already on path to execute that strategy. Chennai market went through a little bit of a lull over the last 3-4 months. Flooding and all that. I think markets are back to routine now. Therefore, we think first 6 months for Q1 and Q2 should give us a meaningful traction on this project. So it's not a relaunch in that sense, it's already launched. Continuously, we keep opening new phases, new blocks. Those are all, if I can very loosely call it, marketing gimmicks or marketing strategies.
Okay, sir, got it. And the last question regarding the Logos deal. So any expected cash flows from the project?
As I said earlier, and I promised to clarify more in the Q&A session, I'll explain that. So as we explained in our last earnings call, we are in the process of negotiating or closing out the outstanding differences between us and Government of West Bengal on this 4% royalty issue. And the focus currently is on solving that, because as I explained at length in the previous earnings call, it's a 256 crore royalty burden that we are carrying in our books. We have every quarter or every year, as you see in our P&L, 20 crore non-cash charge, which is nothing but an unwinding effect of that provision, is going up into interest charges. We want to prevent all of this. I think we have reached that closure. Unfortunately, the code of conduct kicked in before we could consummate all of the negotiations into a proper action. So we are expecting to regain a momentum in this process in the next couple of weeks when the code of conduct disappears. So once that is over, I think then the consummation of Logos will also be through, as well as launching new phases and new products in our integrated township, be it plotted development or villa development. All of this will get launched. As you would have seen in the slide, some of the products that we have targeted for this year includes the Kolkata. So all of this will get cleared and accelerated very quickly. So we are looking to solve this during first half.
Okay, sir, that was helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dixit Doshi from Whitestone Financial Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is, in the Q4, we have handed over around 1,400 units. clue, roughly how much square feet would have been?
Would be about 1.5 million square feet, 1.8 million square feet. I don't have the number right now. My colleague is pulling it out. About 1.5 to 1.8 million square feet.
Okay, 1.5 to 1.8 million square feet. So that so our revenue was around 302 crore if I exclude the other income. So then the realization is hardly around 2,000 rupees a square feet.
So some of the handovers would be in joint ventures, right? It will not show up here because Sriram Greenfield got 600 units got handed over. That will come as part of a joint venture. And joint venture is masked by other joint venture losses. So so you would not see that, that may not be the right metric. But you made a very interesting comment. So I want to clarify for everybody's benefit. Removing other income was the comment that you made. So I wish to clarify, this may be a question in people's mind as well, other participants' mind as well. Unlike manufacturing or other companies, our other income is not isolated non-operator related, because there are several transactions which this, under the accounting standard will have to be classified as other income, and therefore our other income has three components. That's why they remain reasonably meaningful when you compare the overall P&L. Our other income has an interest component coming from interest from JV loans, that we, loans to JVs or others we have given. Our own joint ventures, right? Intercompany loans that we give, because they are registered in independent projects. Second component would be the income that we realize from our joint ventures in terms of their valuation, because we would have transferred these projects to the joint venture like ASK at a particular price point as a valuation. So there is a fair value gain which you get on these investments. That would be a large component. If I add these two alone in FY24, just for FY24, 92 crores out of
123.
Other income. 92 crore out of 123 crore would be from joint venture income as well as interest income on loans given by Sriram. Only the balance is the true other income component. So if somebody excludes this from an EBITDA calculation, to that extent they would be misleading or misunderstanding the EBITDA margin in my limited view. What we will try and do is in future from Q1 onwards, we'll try to segregate other operating income and true other income in our representation in future. But for now, I just wanted to clarify. Since you mentioned excluding other income, sorry.
Yeah, so I was actually coming to that second issue of other income. So, but what I, my question was related to, so obviously this 56 crore in the Q4, some of this will be interest from JV or a fair value change for some projects. But when we look at the 302 crore, where actually the revenue recognition of handover project, then the margins in the handover project is not that great. So my question was related to that.
Yeah, some of them would be, because for example, projects like Grand One, which is in Kolkata, has been suffered for 7 years. So they would be, now they have come for margin revenue recognition. So 6 year, 5 year delay in approvals, all of this. So some of them are low margin products. That's a legacy that we are going through. But we have not much legacy projects left in our portfolio now. Because except for Vizag and Kolkata, rest of the projects are fairly new post-RERA, recent time projects. So these two, until we complete revenue recognition in Grand One to be precise, the Sunshine, which is the second phase of Bengal, is a current project. Bengal Grand One has absorbed a lot of historical burden on it. So to that extent, therefore, there will be a stress on the overall margin. My colleague points out that there's one more project he wants to point out is a Shankari, which is a Chennai project, which was partly completed long ago, and it has taken a much longer to complete now the last phase. last but one phase. So these three projects have dragged overall margin profile, and those legacies will have to be cleaned up. It will take some time. Maybe this will continue this year and next year. I mean, like FY24 and 25, these will be out as well.
Because so my question was related to that, because if I remove the other income, which is not related to the delivered project, obviously those other income was also operational income, but they are not related to the projects which are handed over. So if I remove that 56 crore, then our PBT is actually negative, which is 32 crore even before the JV share. So does that mean that, the project which we have handed over, we have actually not made money?
No, that's not right way to look at it. No? It is like saying Hindustan Lever, one particular brand of toothpaste, how much is making, and it has to absorb all the costs of the company. That's not right, no? You can't dissect like that. It's a portfolio, right?
No, let's say in Q3.
You have to see the gross margin. You cannot say all entire PBT level one quarter, only a particular component of your operation cannot sustain. No?
Okay. So gross margin, you are saying that we will be able to sustain 30%.
It's not a single digit gross margin. I must tell you, I must admit, candidly admit. The legacy projects would have a single digit or a very low double digit gross margin. That's what I meant to stress.
Okay.
Gross margin, right? Which is nothing but revenue from operation minus cost of revenue.
Okay.
Right? That should be a single digit or a low double digit. It won't be more than that because they have carried the burden for a long. And every portfolio will have some burden, right? Any developer you look at, right? Otherwise, why would some of these guys have a margin profile which what you have seen in the last six, four, 5 weeks? There must be some stress in some projects, right? That will always be there. You have to see, if you are seeing a PBT level, you should see a holistically. Even EBITDA level, you should see holistically because the employee cost, other expenses includes all the marketing costs, right?
Hmm.
How can one project upset all of that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Understood. And in terms of JV, how much revenue would have been recognized? Because just to understand, so out of this 1.5 million square feet, which we must have handed over, how much would have been in the JV?
JV, volume-wise, I can tell you my colleagues are looking for the revenue number. Volume-wise, about 600 in the full year, out of 550 would be a full year basis, 550 out of 3,000. And in Q4, almost entire 550 out of 1,400 would be in the joint venture, which is Shriram Greenfield was handed over and recognized. They are looking for the revenue data. I can share with you through Rahul or SGA. We will share this number with you subsequently.
Okay. Now, my last question on the slide where you have mentioned the FY25 project delivery. So you mentioned that our average ticket size would be 1,000 square feet with 5,000, 6,000 rupees a realization. So how much would be realization in the plots? Because for next year, a lot of deliveries are planned on a plots also.
Three plot companies, yes, I agree with you. Plots would be like, let me go to the slide, that will be easier to explain. Slide 24, right? So, Pristine Estate is selling at around 4,000 rupees per square feet. Plots. Serping Ridge is a DM project, so it will not come in our books as an income. It will come only DMP will come. Westwood is also a plot, which is a DM project, so therefore only the DM revenue will come to us. But for indication, Serping Ridge is selling at around 2,700, 2,600. Westwood is getting sold somewhere around 2,000 rupees per square feet.
Okay.
But our P&L will show only Prestige Estate as part of joint venture. That's a project under the ASK platform.
Okay. Okay. That's it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you. Insightful questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhananjay Mishra from Sinidhi Securities and Finance Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Congrats on improved delivery and operating performance. my question, as you suggested that we should give separate number for other income, that will not create confusion because other operating income and interest income should be given separately. And secondly, also if we can give operational performance little bit earlier and not club with the results. So, like other real estate company gives this research number and collection number, and that happens after the closing of quarter. So that is just one for you. And thirdly, sir, in terms of question, till last quarter you were giving target of delivery of 8,000 for FY24 and FY25. And while we have achieved 3,000 in FY24, and now we are saying 3,000 to 3,500. So, and that number was about 5,000 for FY25. So, how we have reduced the delivery number, or we are seeing some slowdown in execution, or what is the reason for that?
No, 3-year number is, that was the 10th, earlier number was the 3-year number, right?
Earlier number was 23, 24, 25 was 10,000. So, 23 we did 2,000. 24 we have done 3,000, so ideally 25 should be about 5,000.
I understand. And
even the last Q3 PPT, the number of 24 and 25 put together was 8,000. So now we are saying 3,500 in FY25.
Okay.
More. So that is just for clarification I wanted. And collection number also has, in this, for the full year, it has come about 1400 crore, and while our guidance was 1600 crore. So this, why this drop we have seen in collection?
Because launches got delayed, boss. Because launches got delayed.
Okay. Okay, so that is all
I will give you somebody will call you with handover breakup, and this 3,500 we have arrived based on what we think we can do this year. And this is the best estimate as we have today.
Okay, and lastly, the DM revenue part, we recognize in revenue, so in the cash flow or DM revenue is different, and then and what we have recognized in the P&L is different. So,
It'll always be different.
Yeah.
Recognize income when you sell and when your construction progress happens.
Right.
When you recognize the cash flow, when the collection from customer happens. So, there will be a delay and it can be as high as 6 months.
So, DM revenue is 60 crore only for this year, but cash flow wise it is 120 crore. Right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agicha from HG Hawa and Company. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir, and congratulations for a good set of numbers. My question was, since the company has entered into Pune, is the company planning to enter into Mumbai metropolitan market? It's a huge market.
I would probably request if Ms. Murli is on another line, maybe I'll request if he can respond. Ms. Murli?
Murli sir is not in the call.
Maybe he's not there because he was dialing from another line. So for now, we will focus on Pune. Yes, a lot of southern regional players have made entry into Mumbai. We'll think about new markets one step at a stage, because I don't want to be pointed out later. Like I had a previous question. Well, you said that last quarter, why did you not enter Mumbai?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think it's less spoken seems to be better. Because at the end of it, we have to have the comfort on entry, and too many strategic moves can jeopardize you, and we don't want to enter and fail. So we want to first make success of our entry into Pune, because as you know, we have entering a new market after a few years, a new market. And we have to understand the dynamics of the market, ensure our strategies work, and then we'll worry about or think about how to penetrate into other markets. Yes, Pune, Mumbai may be an option, but at this point of time, maybe Murli is the only person who can probably share that vision. That's why I was looking for him. As we'll see, otherwise we'll give you that visibility in the subsequent conversation. By then we'll hopefully have entered Pune, and once we get the confidence, and then our ability to think through on the next step will be much easier.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Mehta from Raj Mehta Association. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you for the question. Thank you for giving us the opportunity. I would like to ask few questions. First, with respect to the projects which we are taking up with the ASK. So what are the future developments, and are we looking for another partner where we can grow our size based on any new partnerships?
Yeah, we are always looking for this. ASK partnership has worked very well. We have some more capital left there for utilizing. We are already working on our third investment in the project. Hopefully, we'll consummate that soon. Once we consummate, then we would have utilized the platform 100%. And we are evaluating other options, either do further partnership, further capital under the same platform or a new partner. All that can be evaluated. Market is large, and but we would prefer to further deepen the relationship with existing partners because it's worked well, and we will see how to explore once we, as I said, one step at a stage. Once we exhaust the current platform, I think it's about 200 odd crores left in the platform, needs to be utilized. And we are evaluating a couple of projects as we speak. Most likely, we should be able to deploy that capital, which is a co-investment platform, right? So 20% from Shriram, okay. 80% from the ASK will get consummated hopefully in the first half of this financial year. And then we'll pursue our next step in terms of further partnerships and further investment limits with various partners, including ASK.
Is there any partnership going on advanced stages, or is just the normal you have wanted to complete first with ASK and then you will look forward?
No, that is an ongoing discussion, right? Every day we meet people, every day we meet new potential partners and talk about what we can do together. When it reaches maturity, I'll definitely share with you. But for now, I think emphasis is on deploying, because somebody asked the question last quarter as well, when will you deploy? So that question needs to be answered first. We need to gainfully deploy that project, deploy that money into a value accretive project. From our portfolio, we are looking at projects as well as we can use this capital for acquiring new projects. So let's close that first, and then we will update you on where we stand on subsequent.
Great. And on my second question, 6 months back, Aurum Investments have made a significant, took a significant stake in our company. So they are basically based on the technology. So are we leveraging any technology benefit from them, or is that it's a pure investment and they are not giving any technology or something like which might benefit Shriram Property to build up the book?
So from our perspective, it is their investment. I don't know what perspective they have. You should ask them. From our perspective, they are a strategic investor. They are there in the company as a large stakeholder. But having said that, it's a very interesting and a very knowledgeable and a capable team there in the invested companies of Aurum PropTech. They have about 8-9 PropTech investments. We're exploring with a few of them, like one of them have technology for identifying lead generation.
Okay.
We're working on a couple of our projects with them for trying to use their technology to see whether we can generate superior leads. So like that, like any other third-party service provider, we'll explore, but there are no related party are a preferred transactions here. If we see a value, since it's a known investor team, and therefore it gives us extra one layer of extra comfort. That's it. Nothing beyond that. They are not forcing us to do anything with them, and we are not forcing ourselves into doing something with Aura. But if there is a win-win solution between us and their investors, right? Their investor into another company as well. So if we see a value proposition between their invested company and Shriram's business model, we are always open to exploring, and we'll figure it out on next steps very soon. But actually, already we are working with one or two of their invested companies to see how our day-to-day operations can be made more efficient using their technology.
Okay. And also, sir, I wanted to understand, based on your experience, right now the real estate sector is doing good. The premiumization trend is going on. The luxury segment is doing extremely well. And the mid-market is still lagging behind, but based on the catch-up which luxury segment has done. And in last 2 years, we have already seen the price appreciation even in mid-market segment. So where are we at? Which cycle we are at? And how you are also expecting certain price appreciation in coming years. So if the sector doesn't perform well, so how does this impact the current projects which we are going to undertake? Because right now, whatever projects we are going to undertake based on the current market price, the land prices and all have increased significantly in last 3 years. So whatever projects you have already undertook, you will have a good margin. But going forward, if the sector doesn't perform well and you undertake projects right now, then the incremental margin can be lower than what you are already reporting. So based on your views, what is the expectancy of the cycle and how can we protect that if the cycle doesn't turn out the way it is in last few years, and if it gets stagnant or it gets a degrowth, how can we protect the current margins and have a safety that the future projects which we will undertake will have that similar margins which we are already having in ongoing projects?
Very interesting question. Before I answer the question, I want to make a small observation. This is like asking, you are making SIP, what happened, the market collapses, how will you protect our return? Right? I don't have an answer. I don't know whether you guys have an answer for it. All businesses go through volatility. All businesses go through cycle, whether it is a steel company, cement company, real estate company. So I'm not so sure how somebody can give you return irrespective of the cycle, the same margins. Then we should be only an FMCG company. As far as cycle is concerned, we believe the real estate cycle is still a few years away from reaching its peak because the market is conducive. The purchasing power is there. The pricing of the product have not really moved up so dramatically. For the last 6 years, real estate prices didn't do anything. Only in the last 2 years, prices have moved up. 6 years of increment for the buyer, customers, right? You and me. Even at 8% national average, the purchasing power has gone up about 40 to 50% at individual household level. And the post-COVID, there's a desire for owning homes. So there's a desire, there's a purchasing power, the cost of funds have moved up, no doubt, but it is not moved up beyond an acceptable level. If you look at the affordability index, yes, it has come back from the bottom, but it is not still anywhere close to the peak that we have seen. HDFC slide shows that. So therefore, the right ingredients are there, industry is consolidated, and therefore lesser number of players supplying goods. Therefore, we see the market is on a right path, and we see that current upcycle should continue for at least few more years. Whether we are at a second year of upcycle, whether we are at a third year of upcycle, fourth year, I don't know. To me, my limited knowledge, only a couple of years have been a good year for sector, and industry cycle typically lasts for a few more years. Therefore, we should be able to monetize. Having said that, as a company, as any mature business model, we'll always have to be prepared enough to go through the volatility. If the industry goes through a downturn, there will be a margin volatility. I can't think of a business which will give you same margin irrespective of the volatility. but I'm no one to comment on your view. But I'm saying from our perspective, we will have margin volatility if the industry goes through downturn. But we are prepared enough to manage that volatility. That is the most important. Is the company prepared enough? How? It's primarily because you take a price view which is more conservative, you take a cost view which is little more aggressive. Therefore, you are protected from the volatility. That we are prepared, be assured.
Okay. And thank you for that. And last question I wanted to ask. Since our cost of incremental cost of borrowing is now lesser than 10% or almost equivalent to 10%, and if we monetize the asset and we repay the debt, then the incremental borrowing will be at a lower rate, which, and if the rate cuts happen in future, then it will help us to brought down our interest cost drastically. So are we looking for those kind of opportunities where we restructure the existing loans, repay the loans and buy the new loans because we are getting at a lower rates, and now you are diversified into banks. So banks have a generally floating rate interest. So it might help us, even if there is a rate cut, then it might help us in reducing our interest cost. And going forward, whatever projects you are undertaking right now, so the margin profile, with the margin profile which you gave us, that you will maintain the current margin. So is it on a very conservative basis because you will have these incremental benefits flowing to the P&L, but that is not giving you, that you have not given a guidance of higher margins. So just wanted to understand that perspective from management.
Well, interesting perspectives, interesting questions, but how much certainty with which we can discuss all of this is, I don't know, because I don't know whether interest rates are declining. I don't know whether incremental cost of debt will not go up, because it all, incremental cost is lower today, right? I don't know about the macro environment, where it is headed, what is happening. It's very difficult for you and me to sit here and comment. What I can say is, all our margin profiles are all based on EBITDA level, where we have a comfort and confidence which is under our control. So I think I'll address your question in another way.
Okay.
The capital comes in through monetization or otherwise. You have to take a judicious call, right? We can go on repaying debt and construct all our projects with equity money. Then some of our friends will come back and say, oh, your ROC is, you look at your ROC, you are deploying 20% equity money into constructing projects.
Mm-hmm.
See, always, whatever you do, there will be some question, right? Thanks to the observers and the market. I'm saying we will use a judicious mix of debt and equity. We will always have debt. I'm not sure whether we'll ever have a zero gross debt. Then you can't do a construction business. You can't do any business in that sense. That's not what would be a prudent, what I believe would be a prudent financial metric. So we will always have a gross debt. All we will keep talking about is when you have a zero net debt objective, it helps you minimize the risk on your balance sheet. The same downturn that you talked about, during those days, if you had a zero net debt, basically if you are under control, then you'll have to take some drastic measures to protect your balance sheet risk.
But I just wanted to understand that incremental cost of borrowing is lower, no? So that,
yes,
it will help you to pass in the P&L. So are you taking into that consideration?
Yes,
we will take it.
Why would you lose an opportunity? You should give some credit for it, right? 14% cost of debt has come down to about 11%. When RBI has increased the cost of debt, the benchmark reference rate by 2%, that means 6% reduction in effective cost for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So give the breakup of the loans which you are floating and fixed, that will help us then.
That's not the point, my friend. That's not the point. The point here is, yes, it takes time. Nothing gets overnight done, right? It's not Excel sheet. To bring down to 6%, then you are saying now, how much more will it go? I don't know. If benchmark goes down to 2%, if you can tell me when will it go to 2%, then probably we will put our target for down by 2%. I'm not sure when will it go down. So all I am saying is, yes, our borrowing benchmark rate is very simple. Incremental cost of debt is a very important comment for a different reason. It shows your borrowing capability today. If I had a 10% borrowing capability, I would not have had a weighted cost of debt of 14%. That really shows that the company is evolving with the credit rating of A-. We have been able to reach that A-. We reached some cost benefit. We'll work towards benefiting from there. Does it mean that tomorrow you repay all the loans and get a 10.1% from State Bank? I don't know if it's possible. So the basket rate, in my view, from your analysis purpose or your observation, you can assume Shriram Property will operate in that 11.25 to 11.5% at least for FY25. Because from 11.6% today, going down will be a lot more difficult compared to going down from 14 to 11. Therefore, the incremental reduction in cost of debt will be slower. Mm-hmm. Having said that, are we working towards reducing the debt? Therefore, yes, we are working towards reducing debt. Will I redeploy entire sale proceeds or monetization proceeds into debt repayment? No.
Mm-hmm.
Then we will have to grow. Then somebody will ask me, how will your volume grow? Where is the capital? Why is the debt going up? So it's all continuous chain reaction, right? Yeah. So we will grow. We will grow through a judicious mix of balance sheet debt and the monetization proceeds. To that extent, our net debt equity will keep falling. I'm telling you, we are looking towards 0.25 to 0.28
yes.
as a debt equity ratio for FY25. I don't think at this point of time I would be able to comment or commit anything beyond this in a larger forum like this.
Okay. Thank you, sir, for your question answers.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I will now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Since there are no questions, I wish to thank everyone who have taken time off your busy schedule to join us on this call in large numbers. And I hope the conversations were useful. I'm assuring all of you along with my colleagues here that we are available at any point of time. If you have any questions, you can reach to SGA or you can reach us directly using the phone numbers available on the press release or our website. We'll be very happy to answer any queries that you may have to the extent possible. Thank you so much, and over to you, Rahul and team.
Thank you. On behalf of Shriram Properties Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.